what you guys know, on Fridays we have George Mahey on. He's been on probably the whole 25 years with me. And he was talking really, really highly of a restaurant lately. So I told Andrew, let's get him on. So we have Amy and Bobby in from Amalia.
Yes.
Is that right?
Cafe Amalia. You got it.
Amalia.
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 Thank
That's
you.
A tough one. Yeah.
It is.
Everyone calls it
Amalia.
So it's the
because phonetically it looks like it would be Amalia.
Yeah.
But it's Amalia.
Right.
And that's your grandmother.
Yes, that's my grandmother's name, who I'm named after. But everyone calls me Amy, but I'll answer to both.
Okay. So give it, like, first of all, introduce yourselves. Forget about the restaurant for a minute. Just like, what got you here?
Well, I guess what got me here, Bobby?
Well, Amy and I have been friends for a really long time. And it's funny, my husband was friends with her too, independently. So when we got married, we kind of argued, like, Amy's my friend. No,
yeah.
Amy's my friend.
Who's going to get Amy?
Yes.
So I would say fast forward. I have this yoga studio in Kirkwood, and next door was an empty building that sat vacant forever. And I called Amy and said,
Three times she called me. I must interject here.
Yeah.
I said, I know you have a full-time career,
yes,
but you're really, really great at food. And I have this dream of having a coffee shop, and I don't think a coffee shop standalone is going to sustain. So what are your thoughts on partnering in a cafe? And I talked her into it, and here we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I had nearly three decades. I was a dental hygienist, and I thought about it long and hard. I mean, this bird landed on my shoulders three times, and I thought to myself, maybe I should think about it. Because, you know, food and hospitality are really the heart of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And this place is more than just coffee and food. It's a way of bringing people together.
Yeah.
And that's really like one of the main things about the Greek, I would say, hospitality.
Yes.
It's just like sharing food and love,
yes,
all around the table.
Yes. So when she brought it up, did you think, well, I believe I have the chops, but I don't know if I want to do it? Or were you questioning your chops?
I wasn't questioning my chops. I was questioning, like, I don't really, initially, I was just questioning myself, really. Like, I have the chops to do the work and,
yeah,
the grit, but I thought, well, you know, it took us a second, but then I thought, I want to do what makes me really happy for the rest of my career, whatever I have left to work. So,
yeah,
this is really brings me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
And I have met amazing people along the way, being a dental hygienist, that they have touched my life, I've touched their life, but this is something so different.
We have similar backgrounds. Like I told you, I became a comedian through WashU Law School, and mm-hmm, you became a restaurateur through dental hygienist.
Right.
Yeah. You never count yourself out. You never know what's going to happen. So, Bobby, do you have a background in this?
I have no background in this.
Just
kitchen.
Had a great idea.
Yeah, I have a nightclub here downtown, so I have bar experience, but I have no kitchen experience. I always joke, if I was in charge of the kitchen, we'd starve. But to give some context, Amy, during COVID, maybe it was post-COVID, started cooking for me and my family. And, you know, it's different to cook for a group of people versus cooking for a restaurant. You know,
yeah,
you have to pace the kitchen. You have to do all of these things. And we've been open for 3 weeks, and she's rocking it. So,
well, I'm really thankful. The community has really embraced us from the get-go, from the day we opened the doors. I mean, it's just been amazing to see all that love and outpour from my friends and family, the community. The Kirkwood has just been amazing.
Yeah.
All the neighbors, they're like, we've been driving by, waiting, you know, eagerly for it to open. So I can't say enough about the community.
Is it pretty traditional Greek fare?
So it's not. It's not your traditional Greek street food. It's a little bit, you can actually be good or bad at my cafe.
Like,
you know, I do serve French fries. So, and lots of salad, and everything's fresh and grilled right there. So there are a lot of options.
Yeah. So, like we talked about, I have lots of Greek friends, and my best friend's Greek, and I know how important the homeland is, and
yes,
they're always going back, and they go to their little village. Like, have you done the same thing?
Oh, yes. I've been doing that since I was a kid, because my dad, all his side of the family is all there.
Yeah.
And my mom has her family here, but my dad has no one here. So that's how I was immersed into the culture, just going every summer, every other summer, I would say. And spending time with my grandparents there, and my aunts and uncles. I have tons of family back home.
Yeah.
And your parents are there now, right?
My parents are there now. I cannot wait for them to come back. They've been there for 6 months. It's time for them to come home, okay?
Oh, wow, yeah.
They need to come home because I need my mom's help.
Whenever we do like a little bit on the show, like, what's the best bite of food you've ever had? I always tell the same story. 2 weeks after we took the bar exam, Noel and two of our buddies went for 8 months in Europe. And we were, I think, in Santorini, yes. And we're just walking those little streets. And there was a guy hawking his restaurant, and he's like, come with me, come with me. And he takes us upstairs, and he has this wall of rotisserie chickens. And past that is the Aegean Sea. And he just ripped a piece of chicken off with his bare hands and handed it to me.
Yes.
And it's probably the best bite of food I've ever had.
Aww.
Like, that moment was just like a snapshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I call that? Food worth eating.
That's
like my main thing. It's like, it has to be food worth eating.
So if someone kidnapped your kids and said, you got to make one dish and you're either going to get them back or not, what's your go-to dish? You got to wow someone.
It would probably be my moussaka. It's the layered with eggplants and potatoes and minced meat and bechamel sauce.
Are you trained or just from grandma?
No, I'm not classically trained. I have learned by my grandmother. That's definitely who's my inspiration behind all of this.
Yeah. Is she still with us?
She's not, unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes, but lots of her friends are, and they have come to visit the cafe, and they've all said so many beautiful things about how proud she would be of me, and it's just nice to see them and compliment my food. And one of her best friends came in the other day. She brought me this beautiful plant, and she said, your dad would be so proud of you, and she's like, this tastes like her pita.
Wow.
So that was the best compliment she
that's
could give me.
That's super cool. Yeah, that's great.
Because they're tough.
Oh, yeah.
They're tough critics.
Yeah. Yeah, I've met a few old Greek women.
Yeah, they're tough. They can be.
And they're honest.
They're honest.
Oh, yeah.
There's no filter.
Yeah, you'll know if you're fat or not. No.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You don't need a scale. They'll let you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So what vibe did you go for? The restaurant?
Oh, inside?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say it's, so the wallpaper is fig and leaf on the back. And so that figs are like really important to my dad. So I thought I have to have something about everyone in there. So I think it's the light blue ceiling kind of, you know, mimics the sea. And I have some Slim Aaron's paintings and a local artist here that drew some things for the bathrooms. My niece is also on the wall. So it's just, I think Bobby and I sat down and we talked about the floor, but Bobby's like, wouldn't it be cool if we do like a black and white floor? I'm like, yes. And she's like, let's do a Greek key around it. She drew this out like on a piece of paper. I have this piece of paper. So we have little elements in there that just are, you know, part of the Mediterranean.
What would you say sets you apart from Olympia and Michael's and places like that?
So I those are staples. Those are like, those have been around.
The OGs.
Yes, those are the OGs for real. Like, I love Michael's. I love their gyro salad. So I don't have traditional gyro. Like, I don't have gyro on a spit. I personally do not like that. So I won't serve it, but I will eat it once in a while. I crave it. I'm not gonna lie. I do crave a nice gyro. So, but I just I would say what sets me apart is I have more of like freshly made things that are in house. My pastries are made in house. So I would say that those are probably the differences.
And the other two aren't open for breakfast or lunch.
Yes.
Well, I guess lunch they are.
Right.
But
and I serve breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing like a Greek breakfast.
Yes, for sure.
When I'm in Chicago, every breakfast is at a Greek place.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love Tempo in Chicago.
Tempo.
Tempo is like the best.
Yeah. That's like a pilgrimage.
Yes.
Every single time. You intrigued, sure. Wheels?
I'm hungry.
Well, I did bring some snacks for you all.
They're right behind you.
Yeah,
so
I did bring some of my favorites. I brought you a gyro salad, a chicken gyro, and an Olympian stack.
What's that?
The Olympian stack is beef tenderloin with caramelized onions, Havarti cheese, a little horsey sauce, arugula, and balsamic glaze, and roasted red peppers.
Take those onions off, you're in business.
Just
they're caramelized.
Your hands out of the way.
It becomes sweetened.
He has reflux.
Oh, okay.
We don't need any issues.
Just take some Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah.
Take a Pepsi AC.
So, Bobby, what's your nightclub downtown?
Europe Nightclub.
Where's that?
So it's at 15th and Washington. I partnered with a man that I used to work for in college. He had Europe Nightclub at, I guess, 1521 Wash Ave. So, I got out of college. He needed a partner to reopen, and this is our 15th year that we've been in business.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Congrats.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah. It's been much longer than 15 years since I've been to a nightclub. So,
yes. I think the last one I went to was Velvet, Club Velvet. Remember
yeah,
that?
Mine was 64 West. Probably don't even remember
that
one.
I haven't even heard of
Rupert's,
that one.
Rupert's.
Yeah, I'm old. Yeah,
no,
yeah, Rupert's.
Yes.
Oh,
I used my fake ID there.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah. I went there one time. My famous story about that is I went to the bathroom and there was a bathroom attendant and I didn't know what that was. I'm from South Roxana and I was spraying myself with Dracar Noir and I started leaving. He's like, it's traditional that you give me a gratuity. And I told him the truth. I said, I don't have a dollar. And he goes, you're here to pick up women and you don't have a dollar. And I'm like, yes. And then like 25 years later, I was doing an event and a guy walked up to me and he goes, you don't remember me. And I said, yes, I do. You're the bathroom attendant. And he listened to the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Talk about coming full circle.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah.
That's St. Louis for you.
There you go. So one more time, the name, the location, websites, anything like that?
Yeah. So we are on 10907 Manchester Road, Cafe Amalia. We are open Tuesday through Sunday. And it's 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 8 to 3.
Excellent. Very nice to meet you guys.
Thank
Good luck
you.
In both of your ventures.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it. I can't read all that. Tired. What do you think of the playoffs so far? Day one.
They've been interesting. I mean, every game was
Yankees,
close.
Yankees, Red Sox
yeah.
was really cool.
Until the Dodgers beat up on the Reds last night, which was just, it was crazy to watch Hunter Green get hit like that.
Yeah.
That's how good the top of the Dodgers. I mean, like, literally right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani hits the ball 118 miles an hour against a guy throwing 100. I mean, just come on, man.
Yeah.
That's just not right.
Didn't he hit two last night?
Yeah, he's silly. And then obviously Teoscar Hernandez went deep. But other than that, the other three were intrigue filled. They were close. You know, Cubs pulled ahead a little bit late, but it wasn't like a big win or anything like that. The Yankees, Red Sox had all kinds of back and forth. I mean, you know, we saw there's some controversy about when they took Max Fried out. They took him out, I think, after 90 pitches, and Aaron Boone's getting a little crap for that. But the story there is the Yankees scored one run. Right, it's not that you took your pitcher out and you gave up three.
Yeah.
It's that you didn't score more than one. And they had the bases loaded, nobody out in the ninth inning against Aroldis Chapman, and they did not get a run. Of course, he's nasty,
man. Do you think they should have sent Goldschmidt?
He didn't get a great jump, and you do not want to take that risk with the lead run. You probably take that risk when it's the tying run, right? But you needed two there. You were down two. You don't take the risk with the lead one and risk the out. And you do have to count on those next three guys to do something.
Yeah.
To have to do something. But it was like strikeout, pop up, strikeout, see you later.
Yeah.
You know, that easy.
Rach, tell me about Biden's palm cards.
Okay. So I saw this on Fox News's website yesterday. I was just kind of looking for some different show prep. So they were able to uncover these note cards that the Biden administration would use, like before President Biden was going to like a press conference or event or something. They would make up little note cards with a biography and a photo of the person he was going to meet on it, which I think is probably pretty normal for someone in that position. The thing is, he received bios and photo reminders on people like Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could interpret that as his staff just being super conscientious and just like, we want to cover all our bases and this is just part of our workflow. We do this for every single guest that he's meeting with.
Yeah.
But, you know, others could interpret that as he needs a reminder on who Hillary Clinton is.
So one of my theories, Dave Glover theories, and this comes from being a lawyer and doing jury trials, is that at any given time, in any given situation, most people, in my estimation, see what's going on, right? People are smart. You can fool them sometimes, but for the most part, they kind of see what's going on. And that's what is so frustrating about the world right now is there are so many people who don't see the world the way I do. And it seems so obvious, right? And that makes you frustrated. I'm sure everyone feels that way a little bit. But I think we all kind of have a pretty good sense of what happened with Biden, right?
Yeah.
We don't know the details. We don't know the depth of it. But having nursed two parents with Alzheimer's now, it's like, come on. I think we see what happened.
Yeah.
And I think we all agree it can't happen again.
Shouldn't. I mean, it shouldn't be this complicated either. Maybe the solution, and I know I get it, you probably can't do really, quote, make this happen. But the solution would be you have to have a real primary every year, every presidential election, period, the end. There's no automatic. You don't just get the nomination because you're in. But those parties aren't going to do that because it's when it's your person in there, you know their odds of staying are good.
You want it your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know, in regards to that first term, there was, maybe not obviously, but a lot of people believe there is a lot of deterioration before the end of that first term.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we prevent that in the future?
Yeah.
If the president is over a certain age, there's a yearly test he has to take on TV, so we all feel comfortable. Like, what is that?
None of us, myself included, although I just talked about messing my pants, are great at calling our own out. But I'm simple enough that I think the presidential doctor should be honest. And clearly there was some dishonesty here or some overlooking in some way. But the president's not just any other person. The president is the most important person in the world. And I don't think we should have daily checkups and, you know what their pulse rate was today. But we should know that. We should know that. If there's something wrong with Trump, we should know that.
Mm-hmm.
We're due that.
Apparently, to people at those levels, though, we're not doing anything.
No. I know.
I mean, and again, you know, I hate the... Because all of us are guilty of it. This isn't finger pointing. The finger can point right back at me, too. Because for a lot of my life, I didn't vote in primaries. But the only way you're going to do it is if you say, we won't vote for the 80-year-old. We're going to pick someone else. But to do that, you got to pick someone. Now, again, in the case where the person's already in office, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of all my COVID memories, maybe the strongest is when Trump had COVID.
That was wild.
Wild.
Yeah. Because if you'll recall, it was in the middle of October 2020.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah. It was weeks before the election. Weeks before. And it was, I think they had already had one debate. Yeah, because that was the big controversy may have had COVID at that debate.
Now it's coming back.
And I remember it was a Friday evening when they let it out that Trump had COVID, which makes sense.
Remember when he took the ride and everyone up in arms and then when he came back and he stood on the White House and just, it was just like.
He saluted.
What's happening?
Yeah. He took his mask off and saluted.
Those were weird friggin' times, man.
That was a weird week.
Is that our JFK?
What do you mean?
Like, just everyone that was alive is going to go back to that, to COVID?
Oh, I get you, yeah. I mean, we've had a couple
COVID,
of them.
Yeah, for sure.
You and I have had a couple of them.
Yeah.
Because 9/11's definitely one of those.
Yeah.
Where there's clear, defined before and after.
We were around for that, too.
Yeah, but you were babies. You guys are just little ones.
You're still throwing napkins out your car.
Yeah. Well, some things never change. Like a lady, how
come you behave this way? Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
So for all the people out there who listen all the time, you know that anything for kids, anything for veterans, anything for first responders, and we have Todd Godfroy and Danny Cunningham, communications coordinator and the founder and president of STL First Responders Canteen. Gentlemen, pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
Tell us your story. Tell us about the canteen.
So in 2018, we started Canteen, which is basically just a support organization for first responders. We do water, Gatorade, snacks, and things like that when they're on an extended incident. So a house fire, something like that. And so we started out small and then slowly have grown. And we now cover all of St. Louis County is what we consider our area. We have four home bases, if you will, Florissant, Chesterfield, Fenton, and Melville. And so whoever's closest responds and that kind of thing. So that's kind of the quick down and dirty of it. Our team of volunteers is out pretty much every other day on average, if not more frequently than that. Kind of averages out that way.
See, there you go. You learn something new every day. I've never had that thought in my head. Like, I've seen a gazillion fires on television, and they're the people fighting it. But I've never thought of, how do they get a drink?
Yeah. Yeah. Red Cross used to do it in the St. Louis area. Their numbers were tailing off a little bit. I don't need to get into what their situation was, but with COVID, they discontinued it. And we were actually kind of ramping up at that point. And we just kind of filled in the gap and kind of skyrocketed from there. So
I'm sure there's no typical fire, but tell us, like, paint us a picture of what happens on the ground when you guys show up.
Yeah, so we're usually there about 30 minutes after the fire department shows up, so which is a good time for them because if you've seen it on TV, they're wearing their air packs and all that kind of stuff. And that's about when they're coming out to kind of recycle, as they call it. So they're looking for a chance to take a quick break. And so we're there to be able to hand them that water, that Gatorade, that kind of thing. It gives them a chance to replenish their bodies, you know, those fluids and stuff like that. It's obviously very intense for them to be doing that. And they need to be able to have that so that they can go back in and do it again.
Yeah. How do you fund it?
So we are a nonprofit organization. We're a 501c3. So it's done by donations from people. We do a few fundraisers a year, corporate donations, individual donations, that kind of thing. So it's, you know, we are a standalone organization. So we're there to do what we do, but we obviously have to fund it that way.
So are most people involved with this either current or former first responders?
So I would say we have about 40 volunteers. I would say that we have 4 to 5 that are actually retired firefighters, Todd being one of them. And then the rest are just community members that just wanted to give back to the first responders. So yeah. My dad was a volunteer firefighter my whole life over in Illinois. And so I always wanted to be a part and do that kind of thing. My career path went a different way and there's no volunteering in the St. Louis area. It's all career. So it was just kind of a way to do something else and get involved with that.
So when I started doing No One Dies Alone about a year and a half ago, they had about 15 volunteers, and through the show, we now have 100.
Wow.
So you guys should definitely, hopefully you guys can get some more volunteers.
Sure.
So anyone out there who, like, this sounds super cool.
Yeah.
This sounds really neat. Anyone out there who thinks, I could do that, I could hand firefighters Gatorade, and that would be a wonderful thing to do for a fellow human saving people's lives and property. How do they get in touch?
The easiest way is on our website. It's stlfrc.com. There's a tab at the top for volunteer, and it kind of gives some information, fill out a form and that. And then we do trainings with those people.
Yeah.
About once every month or two, we kind of do a training as we kind of need more people. And then we, you know, build from there. And so there is some commitment to it. Obviously, you're going to be in the front lines with those first responders. I mean, we're standing at the sidewalk while they're coming out of the house. We're that close to the whole thing.
Wow.
So,
Todd, my law office in Clayton used to be across from the firehouse. Mm-hmm. And every time I walked by it, I thought to myself, other than the fires and saving people, this looks like a great job.
Like, it is a great job.
Washing the fire truck and hanging out with your boys.
That's what it was like. Yeah. Especially back when I started, it was like a fraternity house almost.
What was your first fire like?
So I started as 18 years old. First summer back from college, I started volunteering.
So you're made of metal.
Yeah, and it was a garage fire, and it was just like, this is exciting. You know, you're 18 years old, and you're invincible, you know.
since then, I've had, you know, a few close calls here and there where you kind of look back and you go, oh, that was close.
Yeah.
We had a fire one day and, you know, we thought it was in the main floor of the house. We went in there, we were doing some stuff, and we realized it was below us, and most of the subfloor had burnt out below us. So we were pretty close to falling into the basement. That, but being a, you know, one thing about our volunteers is that it's not like like NOTA. You know, you don't sign up for a shift at a time.
Yeah.
It's either available, not available. We do it 24/7, 365, rain, snow, middle of the night. We communicate a lot by text messaging. If you're available, you're available. We coordinate who's going to pick up the truck, who's going to go to the scene,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. But
what are, for those of us mere mortals out there, what are the true dangers for firefighters? Maybe things we wouldn't have even thought about.
The biggest danger for firefighters is health, getting overheated. When you get overheated, you get dehydrated. The equipment that we wear causes you to sweat and keep that heat in, because it also keeps the heat out, but also keeps your heat in, causes you to dehydrate. And when you get dehydrated, you increase risk of heart issues, cardiac issues, stroke. Then you get your coordination, your cognitive skills can start to suffer, and you're trying to do a skill in a, on a high stressful job. So you want to make sure that they're hydrated all the time and that they have nutrition. We ran a fire the other morning in Metro West, and one of the firefighters in the scene is like, do you guys have any food? I've been running calls since 5 a.m. and it was like 9.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm starving. We're like, yes, we brought the snacks over, and she was able to get something to eat there.
That's
and then
great.
On longer term operations, we work with some restaurants or food trucks, and we'll bring meals in.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a longer term operation, you know, we either with Man Meats up in North County that everybody's heard of, or we'll go to McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Dairy Queen, and just buy 100 hamburgers, bring them to the scene, and feed everybody.
That cool, Wheels?
Yeah, very cool.
In the wintertime, it's hot chocolate, coffee, the hand warmers. They'll put the hand warmers down on their gloves and their boots and stuff.
Yeah.
There's been some bitterly cold evenings and stuff, but we can bring some propane heaters out. We have tents we can pop up and just kind of give them the rest and the assurance that the community is there for them.
Yeah, if you guys are just joining us, we're talking to Todd and Danny from STL First Responders Canteen, and it's the first time I've ever heard of anything like this. It's a 501c3, so be generous and help them out. They have a fundraiser coming up we're going to tell you about here in a second. And if you want to volunteer, what they do is they show up at fires, and they feed and hydrate firefighters.
Yeah.
That just...
We try to make all working fires in St. Louis County. We'll go to probably about 200 fires this year.
Wow.
And on top of that, we'll also do some long multi-jurisdictional training exercises they do. The hazmat team was out last week doing a full hazmat drill. So we were there for them. We provided lunch to them and just, you know, we're there doing our services, not an emergency scene, but just during training. So we're there for those events also.
Do firefighters realize how much we appreciate you guys?
You know,
do we show it enough?
Yeah. I mean, they realize it, but sometimes, you know, it's just what they do. It's what we always enjoy doing. That's why I like this, because the neatest thing about the job was just being there for somebody when they needed you.
Yeah.
And when we show up in the summertime and it's July and it's 100 degrees and humidity is high and we've got the bucket of ice cold towels and they put it on their head, you just know, I know how good that feels. And it drips down your back, that ice cold water, and you're just like, oh, this feels so good.
Yeah.
We've got cooling misting fans that we set up that, you know, they can stay put their face in front of and just get cooled off.
So just an idea. You can tell me no, but Wheels gets really hot when he's coaching. I'm just thinking.
I carry my own little cantina with me, though, because I'm not actually fighting a fire. Yeah. I'm the fire. I do know that feeling of the cold towel, though.
Yeah.
Oh, every hot day I pack one. Yep.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's amazing.
So you guys have an upcoming fundraiser at Top Golf Sunday, October 19th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. How do people get involved? How do they help out?
They can go to our website, stlfrc.com/golf, and they can register. If they want to, it's bays of six, and we've got barbecue buffet. We've got unlimited non-alcoholic drinks, one beer drink wine ticket per person. It's 3 hours. We're going to have a driver simulator there that you can compete for the fastest time and win a cool prize. So there's a lot of stuff to do. It'll be a good family event, co-worker event, community event.
Auction things, or is it just...
Yep, auction, silent auction. We'll have some raffle prizes. But, you know, we're looking, if anybody wants to sponsor, we have a few sponsorship spots available. They could email us at golf@stlfrc.com. And if they want to get a sponsorship in real quick here, because it's in about a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great to meet you guys. This is really cool. Yeah. Yeah. Count us in to be involved in the future.
Okay.
Sounds
awesome.
Good.
Forgive me for what I told you. My heart knows.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We're back. DGS on KMOX 248. We got stuff coming up. It's mostly us. I don't think we have any more guests coming up other than Matt Pauly.
Matt, yeah.
He's not a guest.
Dave's not a guest either. Nah. Those guys are family members.
Yeah, they're family.
Mm-hmm. Makes it easy.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good time. Hopefully tonight we will not make you poop.
Well, Rach just had to leak because she had a tinkle.
Yeah. It's tough running the board, man. You get stuck.
I know. Poor Rach.
Yeah.
She does all the heavy lifting. She has to run the board and kind of like manage things. Can't go to the bathroom when she wants.
Yeah.
So
I used to know how to run it. I should learn again.
Yeah. I've always kind of wanted to learn. It just like
it's not hard. You just got to know where the important things are.
My mom and dad and I fought like crazy. Because when I would study, believe it or not, I did, I always had to have the stereo on or the television on, and they just like would not hear of it. Like, no, dead silence. That's what you need to concentrate.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that having a board in front of me, even just a little, push
just
a little,
kind of calm you in, or like set you
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not bad. I mean, that's how I got into radio. When I was new, was you screen phone calls and then you run the board. The board is usually the second thing. The first thing you do is edit. You'll edit audio and screen phone calls. That's like usually your entry level, at least sports radio. That's how you get in.
Your job calling professional athletes and waking them up at their hotel sounds so awful.
There is a period of time. I think it was about 8 months where my full-time job, when I was pretty young. I mean, I was in my 20s. But my full-time job was at, I think we were still called One-on-One Sports at the time. It became Sporting News Radio. But that was the first 10 years of radio I was there. And the second half of that, last 5 or 6 years, I was on air. But before that, I was behind the scenes. And I was the guest booker for the daytime shows. So, and this is, late 90s. So there's no email. You're not texting anybody. There's no text. You're calling people directly. You're calling their office and hoping they answer. You're calling their home number if you get it. You're calling hotels. Mostly it was hotel roulette. So you would find out, and they publish this, by the way. This is not like hidden. In media guides, they will publish where the teams stay in each city.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we would know which hotel to call to say, all right, the Pacers are in Chicago. This is where they stay. You call the hotel and say, is Larry Bird there? Because Larry was, running the team at the time. And a couple of guys. Do you remember a guy named Reggie Theus?
Yeah, of course.
Reggie Theus was a great player for a long time and then became an analyst and, coach. I called him once and I clearly woke him up. And it was like 10 in the morning, but those guys are up late. They travel. And I called him and I'm like, Mr. Theus, this is Kevin Wheeler from One-on-One Sports. Just wondering if you had some time today between, noon and two. And he's like, man, I didn't hear a word you just said. Call me back in an hour. And usually that's a blow off. That's normally when you call back, I ain't answering. He answered and then he came on.
That's cool.
But nice. Then a lot of times you get hung up, just straight up hung up on. You get cursed out. It's pretty great. How'd you get this number?
In general, you've had so many dealings with professional athletes. In general, how's it been?
Mostly great. There are bad ones, but mostly great. I mean, like the vast... I can think of the worst ones just off the top of my head.
Do you feel
there weren't that many of them.
Badly for, let's just make it baseball, since that's what you're most familiar with. Mm-hmm. Do you feel badly for them that there's so much attention and so much required of them from fans?
No, I don't think so. And I don't think most of them feel bad about it either. And most of them are cool with it. Now, the bigger you are, the more it is. And then you can start to be like, wow, that guy's doing a lot, right? That guy's got everybody, you know, knocking down his door. Everybody's calling him. Everybody wants his autograph. I get that. But the vast majority of them just love it. The vast majority of them are really cool on it. You know, they get it. It's why they get paid. It's why they get a whole off season off. You know, there are a lot of benefits that go with all that, too.
Rach, who's your favorite celebrity you've met through the show?
My favorite, probably Andy Cohen. I mean, I'm just such a fan of all of that whole universe, the Bravo universe.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's like, even if you don't watch those shows and that's not your thing, if you watch what Andy does, just like as a host and a moderator, he does a really, really wonderful job. And he's just great at his job, and he makes St. Louis proud. And getting to meet him was like kind of a pinch me moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed meeting a lot of the classic rock bands I grew up
with. Yeah, yeah.
Like Night Ranger invited me to go to Subway with them. That was pretty
that's
cool.
Fun. That's funny.
That was fun. In Excess. And the only, I don't want to say jerks, the only difficult people I ever met, I had Matchbox 20 on when they first had their first hit. And they sent me a rider. And I didn't know what a rider was. But for some reason, they needed all this food and green tea. And so we went out and we bought it. And they never touched it. They didn't need a single M&M. And they're just sort of, we're better than this.
Yeah, we're too big for this.
What I have found in my time dealing with celebrities is that the longer you've been famous and the more successful you are, the more you're over it and the cooler you are. Like, if you're just up and coming, you're going to have an attitude. But if you're super famous and rich, like, I've just not met one that had an attitude.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense to me.
It should be that way. It's been a little bit the other way sometimes, but it's rare. You're right. I think generally speaking, you kind of calm down once you've kind of won.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's like they've reached that position to where if they really don't feel like dealing with it that day, they don't have to, you know?
Right,
so
right.
It's like they get to kind of pick their moments a little bit more.
I was just reading about, I think it was, I forget who the celebrity was, but, Robert Redford. He was, he stayed at this resort for like a year or something. And he and his wife would go to dinner and people would approach him and she would say, "We're having dinner, please leave us alone." I don't know that I could ever do that. I couldn't take that awkward.
Yeah, I could, but then I'd also be like, but I'll meet you guys here in 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll be in the bar.
I guess if it's just constant, though, you know?
Well, I mean, and he's a level that even the people we're talking about, he's above that.
Yeah.